Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanant Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India.
Fortunately, the heart of the world is not broken, but the mind is in many ways. The consciousness is in many ways. Our priorities, our focus, our way of thinking has gotten broken. We have not started too recently. We've been planting seeds of separation, seeds of conflict, seeds of violence for a long time. The minute that we start thinking that we are separate from the world, the minute that we start thinking that in order for me to have, I have to deprive you of it, the minute that we start thinking in competition, that's when we start to erode away the consciousness in the world. Our illusion of separation, our focus on me, 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 our focus on development as somehow interlinked with consumerism, that somehow the more I have, the more successful I am. We have started focusing on things outside, possessions, material objects, having more. The more we focus on that, the less we're able to focus on the oneness, the truth of who we are. And so we build ourselves into these walls of us and them. And the walls get thicker and thicker. We create walls on the basis of race, the basis of religion, color, culture, creed, everything. As many walls as we can build, we build them. Socioeconomic status, sexual orientation, age, weight. I mean, so many things. Wherever we can, we're building these walls, us versus them. And what it does is it erodes our own internal consciousness, and it erodes our ability to operate in the world with consciousness. Because personally, the more separate I convince myself I am from the rest of the world, the less truth I'm living in. If the truth is oneness, and I convince myself that I'm only one with people of my race, of my religion, of my skin color, of my gender, my group, I've eroded my own consciousness. I've cut myself off from truth. If I convince myself that I am separate from the waters of Mother Ganga, from the mountains, from the trees, from the air, I've eroded my own consciousness. because I've cut myself off from truth. I've cut myself off from spirit. I've cut myself off from that source of fullness, of completeness, of wholeness, the truth of who I am. And when collectively we agree on this narrative of separation, we erode our collective consciousness. Violence then becomes acceptable because they are different than us. But violence did not begin today. Conflict did not begin today. We're just seeing it today because it's happening on our corners. And there are social media videos showing it to us. But think about the women and the children in God knows how many third world countries in the world, working in sweatshops to produce an infinite number, an infinite variety of items, clothing, mobile phones, whatever it is that we want to keep buying, cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. Why do we have sweatshops? Why do we have bonded labor like that? Why is it even permitted in this world? Because we, the consumers, want more and more and more. We want it cheaper, cheaper, cheaper. And we feel separate from where our things are produced. We feel separate from whoever it is that spun this cotton into a sari that I'm wearing. How many of us ever even think about the farmers who grew the cotton? About the chemicals that were sprayed because we'd rather have cheap cotton than organic cotton? About the cancer that the farmers and their families have because of the chemicals that are sprayed on the cotton? We feel separate from them. How many of us think about the way that our food is produced? About the farmers and their families who are suffering from cancer and birth defects and all kinds of illnesses because of the chemicals, the toxic chemicals that they have to work with every day because we don't want to spend a little bit extra on organic or fair trade. So violence has been going on for a long time in this myth of separation. How many of us, every time we sit down to eat a hamburger or we buy bone broth, think about the indigenous people in the Amazon whose land has been cut down, whose trees have been cut down, because that's the cheapest place in the world to graze cattle. And because the Amazon has been cut down by the beef industry, but we feel separate. We're not sitting down to a plate of hamburgers thinking about the indigenous people whose land that was, who were kicked off their land so that cows could be grazed. How many of us think about the species on this planet going extinct, 150 of them every day, as we cut down the trees? Cut down the trees to put in factories because, hey, we got to have more stuff. We cut down the trees to graze cattle because got to have hamburgers. So this current state of conflict is just the closest to home for a lot of us. But this myth of separation has been creating violence for a long time. Tens of thousands of children die every day of starvation, while we actually produce enough grain to feed 10 billion people a day. There's only 7 point something billion on the planet. But the grain that we grow, instead of being fed to people, is being fed to cows and pigs and chicken who are going to become the hamburgers and the hot dogs and the chicken McNuggets. How many people, when they sit down to a glass of wine or an alcoholic beverage, think about the people who could have been fed with the grapes or the grain that go into the production of that? And none of this is about guilt. It's about empowerment. It's about awareness. It's about consciousness. It's about simply being aware how the thread of our lives interweaves with the thread of life on planet Earth. And so whether it's about our discriminatory practices at work, whether it's about our eating habits or our shopping habits, whether it's about the way that we treat people of color, people of different races or religion, whether it's about the way that we choose what brand of shampoo to buy, it all comes down to this eroded consciousness that makes us think we are separate. And the only solution is to raise our consciousness. And so the way to deal with the eroded consciousness, the broken mind, is to rebuild it, to commit ourselves to being conscious. And realize that's very different than guilt. It's simply about conscious awareness. Every one of us has been put here with full free will to make whatever choice we want to make. Everyone knows their own economic situation, their own disposable income limit, their own dietary needs. But let us make our decisions consciously. Everything we do has a ripple impact on everyone in the world, ranging from how we speak, how we hire, how we shop, how we eat, how we dress, how we travel. All of it. And it's incredibly exciting because it means in every moment we have an opportunity to be conscious. So begin with yourself. Commit to consciousness. Share that with people in your world. And slowly, 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 we recreate a consciousness of oneness, a consciousness of love, a consciousness that knows that we are interlinked and interlocked, a consciousness rooted in real union, not just because we practice yoga and yeah, we know it means union, but real, experiential knowing of union.
You're listening to OTR-FM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM-FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me.
If there was one truth that someone could believe, which would change their life and place them onto a fulfilled, joyful path, what would that truth be? I think the truth that for the vast majority of us, would have the biggest impact on truly transforming our lives from suffering, from yearning, from grabbing, from pushing away, from all of the ways that we live in suffering. I think that truth would be, you are whole. You are full. You are complete. You are divine. I know that sounds like four or five different truths, but it's actually all one truth. In Sanskrit, it's one. You need four or five different English words, but the truth in Sanskrit is one. There's a beautiful mantra in the Upanishads that says, Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachate, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnamevavashishyate. And Purn means fullness, completeness, wholeness, divinity. And what the mantra basically says is that, the capital T, that, meaning the divine, the supreme, God, the universe, whatever word we use, is full, is whole, is complete, is perfect. And this, which has been removed from that, created out of that, which has come from that, is also therefore full and whole and complete and perfect and divine. Spiritually, it sounds very deep and complex. It's actually really very simple. Think about it from a mathematical way. We learn in probably elementary school, if not certainly by junior high. We learn about infinity. And when we learn about infinity, what we learn is that whatever you do to infinity, it stays infinity. So infinity divided by 7 billion is what? Infinity. Infinity minus 7 billion, infinity. So the divine is infinite, whole, complete, perfect. And this, us, who have been created by, created out of, the metaphoric drop of the ocean, of that infinity, we are also infinite. That is also still infinite, and we are infinite. And I think that this is the truth that would have the greatest ability to transform us, because we go through our life feeling like we lack. We're not smart enough. We're not successful enough. We're not happy enough. We're not good enough. We're not worthy enough. We're not rich enough. We're not beautiful enough. We're not young enough, or for some of us, we're not old enough. There's always all these things that we're not enough of. And it leads to this sense of yearning, of lack. So then our life focus is on filling those holes, how to make myself feel more, how to make myself feel enough, full. Few big chocolate cakes should do it. Some alcohol, some drugs, a lot of indiscriminate sexual partners, shopping. So a whole endless variety of ways that we go out to fill that sense of lack within ourselves. to make ourselves feel full, whole. And it's ridiculous on a pragmatic, logical, intellectual level that somehow a bunch of chocolate cake or arms laden with shopping bags could somehow make up for a sense of lack inside. But tragically, the mind is not usually nearly as pragmatic or logical as we would like to think we are. The emotional mind, especially when we find ourselves in the throes of addiction, and whether it's an addiction to something as soft as food or distractions, social media, or an addiction to something as hard as heroin or cocaine, doesn't matter. They serve the same purpose. It's to give me a sense of fullness. But if I knew that I were already full, if I knew that I were complete, if I knew there was nothing I lack, I wouldn't be trying to fill holes in me that didn't exist. And here's the beautiful piece. It's all beautiful, but here's another beautiful piece of that truth. The core of who we all are is divine, is infinite. Everything we are doing is an attempt to return to that true state of who we are, which means nothing you do is wrong. Nothing is bad. All of that additional layer of guilt that we have about the ways that we try to fill ourselves when they don't work, and then we're just in debt and broke and miserable and hungover and sick. And then there's also guilt. But realize that nothing that you're doing to feel full is wrong. The instinct is actually beautiful. The instinct is actually the purest yearning of ourself to experience the truth of ourself. It is the purest yearning of the suffocated, contracted, in a box, small self that's told from every which way on the outside, look like this, act like that, have this job, have this skin color, dress in these clothes, label yourself in this way. But internally we know. We feel it. We feel suffocated. We know that's not who I am. I'm not my role. I'm not my job. I'm not my skin color. I'm not my body. I'm not my bank account. I'm not my race or religion or sexual orientation. We feel it. We know it. And so we are looking for ways to experience it more fully, more frequently. And since so many of us sadly don't have access to the spiritual teachings and the spiritual way, we go about it with whatever we have nearby. Food, drugs, alcohol, shopping, Facebook, sex, whatever it may be. But the yearning is right. Everything in the universe is trying to return to its source. Fire rises up because the source of fire is the sun. Water goes down, pulled by gravity. The source of water is the ocean, the earth. Comes down. We are trying to return to our source, which is infinity, which is fullness, which is wholeness, completeness. So all of these ways are just misguided, ignorant attempts, dysfunctional attempts for a very real, very true, very valid, very beautiful, very pure spiritual yearning. But if we knew that source is within me, then we wouldn't be looking for it in misguided places outside. If I know I'm full and I have access through my meditation, through my prayers, through my yoga, if I have access to the experience of fullness within me, then I'm no longer tempted by all of that outside. And this is what our meditation and yoga practice does. What our spiritual practice does, what prayer does, connects us. Not to the fullness that's outside of us, but to the fullness that's within us.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
How do you know the difference between inner knowing and ego? It says, this is from Catherine Clements through Facebook. And it says, I'm trying through meditation and Kriya practice to strengthen my inner knowing. But how can I tell the difference between this inner knowing and my ego? So, we actually know a lot more than we pretend we know. There's an awareness within us, if we are quiet and still enough to really hear it, to really allow ourselves to know it. The dilemma comes because the ego is so powerful, that it's able to rationalize so much for us. We've got such insatiable desires. We want more and more and more. Every day it's a different level of desire. We have fears. We have identities that we are so stuck with. Who we think we are, aspects of us, aspects of our history, that we really feel like are us. And so when we listen to that inner voice that we're looking for, the ego speaks first. and it speaks loudly. And it comes as that attachment to how we already think about things, how we think things should be. But the truth really is, we do know the difference. But if we're not allowing ourselves to feel that difference, that's also ego. So this becomes the catch-22 situation. Is the ego is there dressed up as your inner voice. The ego is there dressed up as your higher knowing, your deeper knowing, as your intuition. You want to hear a quiet little voice, it'll be the quiet little voice. You want to hear a booming voice of God and truth, it'll be that. The ego is able to do it all. But it has this attachment to the status quo. It has this attachment to you being who it already thinks you are. To you being stuck. To you not fully embodying all the possibility and the potential. That divine sense of who you really are. And so, this is where it takes surrender and it takes humility. Because it's not about an equation that can tell you, oh, this is how to know when it's my ego, or this is how to know when it's my inner voice. There is no equation you can plug it into and it's going to tell you. There's no stick that, you know, like a pH meter that you can stick it in and say, ah, this is, you know, 80% inner voice, only 20% ego, or it's 90% ego, 10% inner voice. There's no way of actually measuring it. But we know inside of us. Because remember, it's all us. This is not outer space we're talking about. It's not about you're looking through a telescope and you're wondering, is that Venus or is that a star? This is your inner world. We do know. You know, Pujaswamiji always says, even dogs know. When a dog steals a piece of bread or some food off of one of those carts, the telewalis, what does he do? He takes it. And then he looks around. If no one's there, the dog sits right there and eats it. But if someone's there, what does the dog do? Takes it, runs off into some dark little doorway or corner, kind of looking around and eats it there. So even the dog knows what's true, what isn't true, what's right, what isn't right. It knows. And so we know. But because that ego is so strong, it convinces us, oh, that voice of fear, that voice of desire, that voice that says you're nothing. You're too small to do this. You're too stupid to do that, or you're too old to do it, or too young to do it, or not qualified enough to do it. Or, oh my God, what would the neighbors say? All those voices, the ego tells you, oh, that's your inner voice. But realize that the inner voice is actually not very interested at all about what the neighbors think. The inner voice is not very worried at all about how many likes what you say is going to get on Facebook. The inner voice isn't worried about that. The inner voice is connected to and concerned about really one thing and one thing only. And that's you embodying, you awakening to the highest truth of who you are. Which is, interestingly, both your absolute divinity, the consciousness, that infinite consciousness, that boundless, beginningless, endless, infinite consciousness that truth of who you are and the best of your humanity, that heart that loves, that cares, that weeps when you see others suffering, that mind that is so creative and has this initiative and creativity of what can I do for others? Oh, I have an idea. I saw those homeless kids today. I have an idea. I saw those hungry people. I have an idea. That highest humanity. These two, what seem like opposite ends of a spectrum. That's the highest goal for your inner voice. Because, interestingly, truly knowing the highest truth of who we are, that infinite consciousness, that divinity that's never born, that never dies, that soul, that actually happens together with our ability, our willingness to embrace the best of our humanity. It's not about giving up your humanity in order to recognize your divinity. The more connected and aware of my divinity I am, the more able I am to actually embrace the highest of my humanity. Because if I'm not in touch with the divine truth of who I am, the fullness, the completeness, the infiniteness, well then, I better grab all I can grab. Then it's the, you know, he who dies with the most toys wins model of life. Then it's all about grabbing and competition, hoarding, yearning, lusting, because then there's never enough. Then it's all about lack and it's all about scarcity. But when I'm actually aware deeply of the infiniteness of myself, I'm then actually able to be the best human that I can be. I'm able to move through the world with compassion, with caring, with love, with tenderness, with generosity. Because I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid that your gain is my loss. I'm not afraid that everything is very scarce and I can't give to you because then, oh my God, what'll happen to me? I know that I'm infinite. I know that not just my cup runneth over, my self runneth over. Myself is the cup that runneth over, and myself is that with which the cup runneth over. So yeah, I become really generous with my time, with my energy, with my love, with my resources. I'm also able to use my mind, my brain, my thoughts, rather than figuring out how to get on top, how to get more, how to beat you. I'm actually able to use my brain, this amazing tool, with initiative, to plan for ways to help others, to serve, to have that creative initiative, to understand really what the world needs and how I can be of service to it. And so when those voices in you are talking all about me, when the voices are saying, ah, there's not enough, grab what you can and run. When the voices are trying to keep you stuck and small, trying to convince you that there's not enough, that you're not enough. One day sale, 24 hours only, right? This is marketing. This isn't higher truth. It's ego. It's It's ego that's been indoctrinated by, co-opted by your own personal history, as well as the collective neurotic world in which we live. So the ego speaks in contraction. It's all about grabbing and hoarding and saving and protecting, fearing. The truth is all about openness, giving and sharing, fearlessly. And you know that because you feel it. You know what it feels like. You don't need me to sit here and tell you what it feels like to move from the ego compared to moving from your higher truth. You know it. You know how it feels inside, in the same way that you don't need me to tell you the difference between what hot and cold feel like. We know. You don't need thermometers and barometric pressure and all of that. We feel it. So allow yourself to feel it. Don't be scared. Don't allow the ego to scare you into thinking that if you actually go with your inner voice, oh my God, you're going to miss your piece of the pie. Oh my God, the sale's going to end before you get the shoes. Oh my God, you're not going to be on top. You're not going to have what you want or need. That's the greatest myth of the ego, is that it's somehow your ally, somehow looking out for you. Somehow the ego has got your back. It doesn't. Not your back, not your front, not your heart, not your life. The only thing the ego has is its attachment to itself. So listen. Listen a little more deeply. Listen a little more fearlessly. And you'll know.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM radio network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Alec Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip or the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation.
When does silence convey more meaning than words? Well, realize that silence is not an absence. Most of us, when we think of silence, we think of it as an absence, as though there's all of this happening. And then silence is an absence of all of the happening, but it isn't. Silence is full. Silence is active. Silence is beautiful. Silence is that, which actually in many ways is more true, more real, more full than that which is happening outside. Silence offers us another way of knowing. Because one way of knowing is, I tell you something. Here's what you should do. Here's how you should be. Here's who I am. Here's how I feel. Here's what I want. All of the stuff that daily life is made of, I can tell you. It'll go in your ears. You'll process it in your brain. You may or may not choose to abide by it. You may or may not choose to be impacted, affected by it. But silence is also communication. There's a beautiful teaching, actually, of the Buddha, who one day was in a village, and it was time for his daily teachings. He showed up and he sat down. And he just sat. He just sat. It wasn't even like he led a meditation or something. He just sat in silence. People kept waiting and waiting and waiting. He's going to say something. He's going to teach us something. He's going to say something. He's going to teach us something. And he just sat. And finally, after basically the whole time of his satsang was over and he had been silent, when they asked him, why didn't you teach us anything? He said, I did. He said, but if you don't understand my silence, you'll never understand my words. So on a deep level, I think silence is always more powerful than words. So many of the fights we have, the tension, the stress, the misery we have in the world is that sense in relationships of, I just want you to understand me, listen to me, for God's sakes, just listen and understand. Whether it's our parents, whether it's loved ones or your spouses, whether it's our children, whether it's friends. But we're in this constant struggle to just make each other listen so that we can make each other understand. But the problem is, as anybody who's tried to do it knows, it doesn't actually work very well. You might end up getting somebody to sit there and be quiet, but that doesn't mean that they're really listening or understanding. It means they've just learned cello, it's better to just be quiet. But when we are silent, not silence in moping and sulking and passive-aggressive walk out and slam the door silence, but silence that is full and present that says, I don't need to make this moment more shallow with words. In that silence, we actually convey so much more. They say, when you're angry at someone, you yell. Even if you're a foot apart from each other, you yell. When you're talking to someone, logistically, you speak in a normal voice. When you love someone, you whisper. Now, the distances might be the same, but in anger we yell, in love we whisper. Because the distance between our hearts is very far when we're in anger, and the distance between our hearts is very close when we're in love. And so, the closer the distance of your heart, the less you need the words to convey. So try out silence. It's a cure-all in so many ways. Cures you from the burden of trying to explain. cures you of the burden of trying to know what to respond or react or to say next. So many of us don't even listen to each other because we're so busy figuring out what we're going to say next that we don't even listen. But if you're in silence, you know, I'm not going to respond. So you just listen. It frees you. Frees you from giving a reply, frees you from the snappy answer, frees you from the comeback, from the reaction, and allows you to really listen. To listen to others, yes, but even more to listen to yourself. And we convey, we communicate with our presence. The energy, look, sound is just an energy. It's waves. It travels in the air on waves. Like light, it's an energy. It travels on waves. Our being, our presence, our love is an energy. It's a frequency. It also travels through the world on waves. And we feel it. That's how you know when someone loves you, whether they say it or not. So it's a beautiful practice. The more we use it, the better off we all will be. During this lockdown, give yourself this opportunity. An hour a day, 2 hours a day, not while you're sleeping, some other time of the day, to observe silence. You'll see the transformation. Have a beautiful, beautiful next 2 days. We have to close satsang a bit early this evening. I have to get on to a round table of faith leaders from around the world. But we will see you again on Saturday. On Saturday at this time, it will actually be a very special satsang. We'll be sending information online between now and then. Same time, but just a special event. And lastly, tomorrow, Friday, join us, 6:30. We have a very, very, very special World Environment Day panel. It'll be live here on our Facebook pages. It'll be live on our YouTube. World leaders, faith leaders, scientists, leaders of the United Nations coming together to become the solution for Mother Earth and for all of us who live here together. So, so much love to you all.
This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on OM Times Radio.